How many blessed folks we got in the house? Anybody blessed tonight? Amen. Praise God.
We're glory.
Amen. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. And we are blessed tonight. Go with us to the book of Joshua. In the 7th chapter of the book of Joshua. I want to focus our attention tonight on verses 1 through 5. Again, reading from the book of Joshua. Chapter number 7. Beginning with verse number 1 through verse number 5. When you get there, say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate, even to Shebarim, and smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. Can we bow our heads in prayer tonight? Brother Rowdy, would you ask God's blessing and his anointing tonight upon his messenger?
Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we love and we praise you, Lord. We thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord. And God, we thank you for being here tonight to hear your word, God. God, I ask you to anoint my pastor, Lord. God, anoint his lips of clay to speak to your people, God. Let us receive what you have for us tonight, God. We'll be glad, God, and serve you. And we give you all the glory, honor, and praise.
Amen. One more hand clap for Jesus tonight. You may be seated. I believe Sister Jennifer just said sometimes God doesn't tell us exactly what we want to hear. Amen. I can identify with that. How about you? Amen. But it's always the right thing. I contemplated over the message title tonight, but I'm going to go with what I feel that the Lord laid upon my heart. From this passage of Scripture tonight, I want to take this message topic and entitle it, Don't Expect Victory with Sin in the Camp.
Amen.
Don't expect victory with sin in the camp. If you read in the preceding verses, God gave Joshua and the children of Israel explicit and strict instruction concerning the city of Jericho. He told them that it was going to be theirs. He told them exactly every step that they should take to cause the walls to come down. And in fact, he said, I've already given it to you, even before the walls came down. Boy, we can shout the victory, amen, when we talk about the walls coming down. I mean, has ever had spiritual walls come down in your life? Amen. If you're saved and born again, amen, you're victorious over a lot of walls in your life. I can assure you that. Put your hands together for those walls, amen, that fell. Amen. And the Lord gave strict instructions to exactly what they were going to do. And he also told them who they were to save. Rahab the harlot and her family. And that was it. He said, you can go in and I want you to destroy every living thing that is inside the walls of Jericho, inside that city, for it is an accursed thing unto me. You can save of the silver. You can save of the gold. You can save of the brass and the iron vessels. But you have to take those and put them into the treasury of the Lord because they've been consecrated to me. Amen. Aren't you glad that when you're consecrated, amen, the world can fall around you, but you're going to be all right. Amen. You're the vessel that God has anointed, and I'm proud to be in God's treasury. How about you? He said, but every other thing is accursed. You leave it alone. Amen. How many knows that the Bible is very explicit about what we can and what we cannot participate in? Amen. There are no gray areas, by the way.
Come on, there's no gray areas when it comes to serving the Lord. You're either in or out. You're either hot or cold. You're either lukewarm or you're on fire for God. Amen. I want to be on fire for God. I don't want to be spewed out. How about you? Amen. I want to be on God for everything. I want to play the guitar for God. I want to sing for God. I want to clap my hands for God. Amen. I want to take the money out of my billfold and put it in the offering plate for God. Amen. Not for recognition, but everything I do is for Him. Amen. And for the glory of God. And I want to serve Him with all of my heart, my mind, my soul, and my body. I want to give Him my very best. Amen. I want to be a vessel used of God. But He said, everything else is accursed. Do not partake of it. Do not take it out. Do not use it. Completely destroy the entire city, its inhabitants, and all the treasures other than what I've mentioned, and burn those down to ashes, because they are an accursed thing. So the moving of the walls and the transformation of Jericho into the hands of Israel was going as planned, and everything seemed to be all right. And, the vessels were taken and put into the treasury in anticipation of placing them in the tabernacle of God. And everything looked pretty good. Everything looked like the battle was won. And probably Israel was feeling pretty good about themselves and about worshiping and glorifying and praising God. And then they began to set their eyes on the next goal. How many knows that when we conquer one thing in God, amen, there's always something else, amen, that we can anticipate that's down the road, amen? The trials and tribulations are not over, amen? So many times they're just beginning. I've had a lot of folks, amen, who just were newly converted and newly infilled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and come to say, Pastor, why am I being bombarded now? I wasn't having this much trouble before I got saved, amen? The reason you didn't have trouble then is because Satan already had you, amen? But now that you've come to know the Lord, He's after you even more. But this morning's message says, amen, that is within us is greater, amen, than what Satan can come against us. So we find that Israel was celebrating, and Israel was kind of licking their chops over the victory that they'd won at Jericho, and now setting their sights on Ai. And here we find Joshua getting ready, and he sends some men out and says, go spy out the land and see what kind of obstacle and what kind of battle and what kind of army we're up against. And let me tell you something, there is an opportunity, if we're not careful, to get a little bit overconfident. Amen. We'll get one battle under our feet, and so many times we're ready to jump on something else, but we'd better wait till God says jump. Amen. We better wait till God says move, and we better do it in obedience unto the Lord and not take off on our own ideas. So Joshua sent the men up, and they went and they looked and they said, you know what? There's no use in the entire army going. We can handle this army with 2,000 or 3,000. Just get 2,000 or 3,000 of our finest and send them up, and this battle be over in no time, and we'll be back and ready for the next onslaught and ready for the next battle. So Joshua agrees and sends 3,000 of his men up, and I don't know what the spies saw, but they didn't come back with a good report. Amen. Because the Bible says that the men of Ai, they begin to slaughter the children of Israel. They kill 30 and 6 and put them on the run. And they get back to the camp, and everybody's wringing their hands, and everybody's frustrating. And probably all eyes are on Joshua. Joshua and some of the elders, they go to the dust of the earth, and they begin to put on the sackcloth and begin to put this dirt on their heads. And they're wondering, what happened? What happened? We just won in Jericho, and we destroyed in a night. Violated everything, and now with 3,000 men, we can't even go up and defeat this little measly army of Ai. And they begin to wonder what in the world's going on. And I know that never happens to Christians, amen. We never get overconfident. We never get to a point where we kind of think that we've been defeated and God's not with us anymore, and we wonder where God of last year's victory was, or God of last revival was, or even the God of this morning, where is He now? Well, I don't feel that spirit. Let me tell you something. It's not a God that changes. Amen. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. But many, many times we take our eyes off of God. We say, not His will, but ours be done. And we do it in the wrong way. And the first thing you know, the whole camp, amen, is in total disarray. This is where it gets really, really interesting to me. So many times, let me just be really, really frank with us tonight. And
And I love mercy and grace, and I thank God for His overwhelming compassion. Had it not been for His mercy and had it not been for His grace, I would not be able to stand in this pulpit tonight. I would not be able to lift my hands and glorify and praise the Lord, because I would still be in a sinful nature. I would still be trying to handle things on my own. But because He loved us so very much, amen, we can't praise Him enough for His mercy and His grace. We can't thank Him enough, amen, for the convicting power of the Holy Ghost that led us to an altar of repentance. But can I tell you something? Amen. There is a time when sin begins to take place in lives. And let me tell you something. Sin has consequences. Amen. So many times we think that the sin that is in our life, the things that we are doing or the things that we are not doing. The Bible says, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not to him is a sin. We kind of brush that one under the rug sometimes and, hey, well, really, God doesn't mean that. Yes, he does. Sin is sin. Amen. And we're the ones that put the different degrees on the sin. Sometimes you can hear something and somebody say, oh my Lord, that's awful. But let me tell you, sin is sin. And sin has consequences, and sin has to be dealt with. Man. And here's the thing about it. That to me, this is, you know, the little finite minds that we have is not able to comprehend the mind of God. God tells us that His ways and His thoughts are higher than ours. How many would agree with that? Amen. There's things that God does in my life that I still don't understand, but by faith I believe it. Amen. I believe that God is able to do all things. He's turned situations around. You know, somebody says, He put a door where there was no door. He put a door where there wasn't even a wall. Amen. God makes a way when there is no way. And it's amazing to me how God can come on the scene when we've frustrated and we've tried and we've done everything we think within our power and we're at the end of our line, so to speak, spiritually down and our knuckles dragging the ground. I'm talking about Holy Ghost filled people now, folks. I'm not talking about unsaved people. I'm talking about people who know the power of God. People who danced around the walls when they fell. But now things are not going really good and things are not going like they ought to and they're all down and out. But let me tell you something. God will still be victorious if we understand that we need to be submissive and obedient unto Him, and we can expect victory if there's sin in the camp. Man, it will not come. We got to deal with it. Amen. We've got to deal with it by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He said, keep yourselves from the accursed thing. Take the silver, take the gold, take the brass and iron vessels that are consecrated to the Lord for His treasury. You know, I was reading this week and I was running some reference and I was intrigued. You know, I don't know why it intrigues us to find justification, confirmation. You know, we all like confirmation. We like, but you know, this was the amazing thing. I was reading and I was running some reference and it seems that these archaeologists are backing up the Word of God. Like I needed them to do that. Well, it must be true. The archaeologists believe it. I don't need the archaeologists to tell me that the Bible is true, amen. But if they want to go ahead and research it, that's all right, amen. It just further confirms that the Bible is true, amen. I don't know why people keep trying to find errors in the Bible. There is none, amen. It's true from lid to lid, from Genesis to Revelation. Every part of the Bible is for reproof, amen, for doctrine and for the inspiration, amen. But the archaeologists found out and they begin to look and uncover these things. They found the big tall gate that was partially down and parts of the wall, and it was confirmed that the wall did fall flat and it was confirmed. They began to uncover houses and rooms in these walls and this, it even gets more interesting. They began to uncover storehouses, amen, that were not pilfered. They begin to find treasures and things that even the vessels, the pots and the pans, everything that wasn't silver and gold and iron and brass, which they were permitted to take that. You know, can I just pause just a minute? It's not that God's against everything.
He allows us to have certain things, but so many times the church is not satisfied with what God has allowed us to have. We want to reach over and get something that he said, don't touch, don't be a part of, don't go there, don't test that, don't drink that, don't do that, amen? But we're so occupied or preoccupied with things that we can't have, amen, that we forget about the blessings that we do have. But the archaeologists found that everything was pretty much still intact under there except the gold, the silver, the brass, and the iron that the children of Israel took. Further confirmation, amen, that most of Israel obeyed God. But this is where it gets really intriguing. It only took one sin, and it affected the whole camp. The whole camp. Achan took for himself of the accursed thing and hid it in his tent. That lets me know it wasn't by accident. He knew what he was doing. It's one thing to do something in error. Amen. It's one thing to do something and you didn't know any better and you have to get forgiveness from God. But when we willfully sin, when we know that God has said, touch not, when we know that God has said, taste not, when we know that God has said, don't be a part of that, and we go ahead and do it anyway, and then we try to hide it. We try to hide it from family. We try to hide it from friends. We try to hide it from church. Amen. But we cannot ever hide it from the eyes of God, who knows and sees everything, and we wonder why we're not living in victory. We wonder why things are not going well. We wonder why we can't get the joy back in the camp. Hallelujah. No, Achan knew what he was doing. He knew exactly what he was doing. Now this is where the little finite mind begins to get nitpicky. I'm going to tell you. This little mind, I said, but God, he really didn't take that much. You said he could have the silver, and you said he could have the gold, and that's two out of the three things he took. But let me tell you something. When you can take what God allows you to have, amen, but you better give the praise and glory to God, and you better not try to hide it from God. But he also saw this Babylonish garment. It says a mantle, a priestly mantle. I don't know, maybe he saw himself kind of walking down with that Babylonian garment on. But then I'm thinking, no, Achan knew what he was doing. He couldn't even wear it in public. Because if he did, everybody would know, hey, that didn't come from the camp of Israel. We didn't bring that out of Egypt. You got that from Jericho. He would have been a marked man. So he took that Babylonian garment and he took that little bit of silver that he had, and he didn't turn the silver into Joshua and he didn't turn the gold into Joshua. He said, I saw it and it was goodly to my eyes. He confessed later and he said, I took it and I went and buried it in my tent. Let me tell you, Satan makes sin look so attractive. Glory to God. Can I tell you, I don't believe, this is ideology, but I don't believe Achan marched into Jericho with the anticipation and with the idea that I'm going to get me something. I believe he went in with the same mindset that the other children of Israel marched in. Complete obedience unto God. But let me tell you something, folks. If our heart is not in it, we may say our mind is made up, but if our heart and our spirit is not in it, be careful, because Satan will entice you with the things of the world. And you better be strong enough. You better be powerful enough. You better be able, amen, to discern good from evil, because the Satan that I know can make these things seem so attractive. And you know what else? Achan. Nobody's looking. Achan, look. You're by yourself. You walked into this room and you find this Babylonian garment and you find this little bit of silver and your gold, and nobody's going to ever know it. You can take it and you can put it in your tent and hide it. Satan can make sin look so attractive. And not only can he make it look attractive, he can make it convenient.
Amen. Glory to God. Be careful when you're out there on your own. Be careful not to put yourself in a compromising position. Be careful, amen, where you put your foot. Hello. Amen. It's good to have brothers and sisters around you. Why? Amen. To keep you straight. Well, not only that. Amen. But to make you stronger. Amen. I believe, amen, that we can have one another's back. We talk about that in our brotherhood. I believe that sometimes when the devil's been on our case so bad and he's making things look attractive and he's making sin look convenient. Amen. Rather than being obedient unto the desires and the lust of our flesh, pick up the phone, call your brother, text your brother. It's so easy today. Say, brother, I need your help. I need you to pray for me. Let me tell you something. There's not a one of us sitting here in this building, amen, that is not careful enough. Satan will make sin look so attractive to you. And then it's convenient. Very convenient. Nobody's looking. Nobody's watching. Amen. And even if somebody was watching, amen, sin is still sin. Sin is still sin. People say, well, preachers don't preach on sin anymore. I don't know why. Because preaching against sin is what made me come to an altar of repentance. Amen. I didn't have a preacher stand up in the pulpit and say, you can just do anything you want, just feel every way. You're all right. He didn't say that. He said, you must be born again. Praise God. Amen. And you must confess your sins. Amen. To the Father. Glory to God. And you must ask Jesus Christ to come into your life as your personal Savior. Be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Get that within you. Amen. It'll cause you to resist Satan and resist those attractive sins. And resist those things that are convenient. But sin has consequences. Another thing that I looked at, and I want us to really wrap our mind and our spiritual mind around this, because it's very serious. Out of all the children of Israel who were obedient, out of all the children of Israel who did exactly what God told them to do, were obedient, submissive, did the right thing, didn't participate in taking anything else other than what God told them to take. But one person in the entire camp chose to disobey God, and it affected the entire camp of Israel. 36 men lost their life. How quickly we can read over that. How quickly we can just put that aside to a defeated battle. But let me tell you, had Achan obeyed God in his entirety, I believe that 36 men would have been alive. I believe that the children of Israel would have marched in, and with the power of God, he had already won battle after battle after battle. But so many times, the church begins to wonder, where's the victory? Where's the shout? Where's the praise? Where's the saving of souls? Where is the growth? Where is the spiritual growth? Amen. And you're walking in all the life that you know, and you're being submissive, and you're being obedient unto the Lord. But let me tell you something, folks, and nobody's told me anything. Don't throw no rocks at me or anything, but let me tell you something. If there's something hid in the camp, if there's something, amen, that needs to come to light, then we need to confess it not to Brother Eddie. You don't have to tell Brother Eddie anything, but you do have to confess it unto the Lord. Amen. Because I believe we need victory back in the camp. Amen. It's time to quit walling around in defeat. Amen. It said the children of Israel. Now this is how the children of Israel were. They were shouting and glorifying and praising God. First the walls went down. Then they lost the next battle and they're ready to quit. Let me tell you, Holy Ghost filled people, don't you quit after the first battle don't go your way. Amen. We're on the winning side. I looked in the back of the book. We're going to win. Amen. We're winners. It's just going to be a little tough sometimes. Amen. But when the tough gets going, amen, we need to go with it. Amen. We need to stand together in one mind and one accord in the unity of the Spirit. Amen. And to begin to proclaim victory in the camp again. Hallelujah. Sin has consequences. Sin has consequences. It will affect others around you. So many people said, I'm not hurting anybody but myself. I have to disagree with that. Let me tell you something, and I don't want to be hateful. I don't want to be offensive in any way. But the person who says that is pretty self-centered. Pretty self-centered. Because they're only thinking about themselves. And their mindset is, I can destroy myself and it won't affect anybody. And they'll tell loving parents that. They'll tell husband and wife that. They'll tell children that. They'll tell church members that. Let me tell you something. If we are true to the Word of God, and if we're living and operating in the light of the Lord, if one of you out there is hurting, I'm hurting. I'm hurting. I should be hurting. Amen. Because we are one body. Amen. Glory to God. We're not a bunch of little bodies running around here. Amen. We are one body of Christ. Amen. And as your body is, if your little finger gets hurt, amen, the rest of that body runs to the rescue. So how dare you say, I can do what I want to do and it won't affect anybody. It will affect the church. It will affect the body. Amen. It's time to get the sin out. It's time, amen, to repent. It's time to ask God to forgive us. Amen. Because I want victory back. I want victory in the church. I want victory in your lives. I want victory in your families. I want victory in your finances. Glory to God. The next battle that you fight, I want you to hold your head up high and come out victorious. Amen. And the way that you do that is you lay everything down that's of the accursed thing and say, Lord, purge me, cleanse me, make me whole, because we're going forward. We got a battle to win. We got souls to save. We got a city to turn around. Amen. We got revival that needs to take place in the land that you and I are living on. But we got to do it. Amen. We got to get victory back in the camp. Hallelujah. Stay away from the accursed thing. Amen. I've made a conscious effort, and I'm not preaching my convictions on anybody. But I've made a conscious effort to use my remote control and my on and off switch a lot more than I have in the past. It's one thing to say there ain't nothing but rot on there. But it's another thing to go click. Haven't been there. Sometimes I'll just, that's awful. Spirit spoke to me, said, why are you putting up with it? You don't have to watch it. You got to switch. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God. Wished I had my remote control here tonight. Because I believe with the Holy Ghost, we got a remote control. Amen. God's made it easier for us to flick that stuff off. Come on, turn. I'm not getting involved in it. I'm not doing that. I'm not going there. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. If that's all it's on, I'm going to click it off. Glory to God. If Christians, amen, would not be so quick to hear and they cut that off, amen, a lot of times, then that tail wouldn't go from one to another to another. Amen. In fact, it would begin with a prayer. I'm going to cut that off. I don't want to hear that. I'm going to pray for her. I'm going to pray for him. Hey, I don't want to hear that gossip. I don't want to hear that. That is the cursed thing. That's going to sap our victory. That's going to cause us, amen, to lose the next battle. But let me tell you something, folks. When we all get together, there's a song that says, when we all get to heaven, amen, the Bible said, we can be made to sit in heavenly places here. You want to sit in a heavenly place? Get all minds in one accord. Get your mind focused on the will of the Lord. Get the sin out of the camp. Get it out of our lives. Glory to God. Everything. Lay aside every weight and every sin that does so easily beset us. Let's get victory back. Let's get victory back. Amen. Glory to God. Can I say this? Let's get the attitude of every church service is going to be a blessing rather than just the exception. Many churches are satisfied if they have one or two good services a month. I wasn't raised that way. I wasn't raised that way. Amen. When I came into the church house, there was something, amen, that told me there's going to be a blessing tonight. There's going to be a Holy Ghost feel tonight. There's going to be an anointing. We need to come with that expectation and not just call it every once in a while a good blessing or a good message or a good time in the Lord. We should expect every battle that we come against to be victorious over. Hallelujah. And when we run up against Ai and his men and all of a sudden the battle's not going the way it should, don't blame God. There's something hid in the tent. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's not the end of the story. The end of the story is a very sad story. It's a very serious story. Amen. I love victory. I love shouting. I love running out. I love praising God. I love singing. I love playing for the Lord. But folks, it's time we get serious about serving the Lord. We need to get committed and dedicated. Joshua said, go get Achan and his family. And they brought him before. And the ministers and the elders, along with Joshua. Joshua spoke to him. He said, son, young man, tell me. And do not hold back. Do not lie. I'm paraphrasing now. But do not hide it. And he confessed. He said, yes, I did. I saw the Babylonian garment. I saw the shekels of silver and the bar of gold, and I coveted it. Be careful what you covet. Because many times the flesh, whatever it covets, will find a way to get it. The flesh is hungry too. That's the reason we need to pray that the spirit within us is greater than the flesh that surrounds that spirit. And how do we do that? We feed that spirit. We feed that spirit. We feed that spirit. We pray. We fast. We read the word of God. We worship him and let that spirit be strong. He said, yes, I saw it and I coveted it. Let me tell you something. The punishment for sin is serious. We know this was before the dispensation of grace. Some folks say, I'd love to live in the old Bible times. Not me. Not me. I'm thankful that I was blessed enough to be born after Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Amen. And after he said, I'll send a comforter. Because back in those days, I got a feeling that I would have been the first ones that they stoned. Amen. Because I know it. I've tried to make it without Jesus. I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm honest. I'm weak without Jesus. But with him, I'm strong. Amen. With him, I can do all things through Christ. Achan said, yeah, I took it. I took the garment and I took the shekels of silver and I took the gold. And it's there in my tent in the earth. I digged it and put it in the silver. I think he said the silver's on the bottom. So Joshua sent some men to the camp, sent them to his tent. They went right to it. And sure enough, there it was, right where he said it was. He knew it was sin. He knew it was wrong. But yet, he didn't dig it up on his own. There's a lesson there. Don't wait till somebody else digs up your sin. Oh, I knew you wouldn't shout about that. That's uncomfortable. Somebody else in your tent digging up your sin. Amen. You need to dig it up yourself. Confess it to the Lord. Get that accursed thing out. The story gets so sad here. They brought him back. They brought his family back. They brought his oxen back. They brought his sheep back. They brought everything that Achan and his family owned, along with the Babylonian garment, along with the shekels of silver, and along with the bar of gold. And they went to the valley of Achor, and they dumped it all together, and all of Israel stoned them. You think God's not serious about sin? I know he's a God of grace and a God of mercy, and thank God for that. Amen. But sin has consequences. Sin has consequences. And with Achan and his family and all of his belongings, and even the way I read it, I may stand corrected, but I believe even his Babylonian garment and his little bit of silver and gold went there with him, because they heaped these stones on and covered him up. And they even call it the Valley of Achor today, I think, or something it said. But he took those sin with him. God is serious about sin. Sin does have consequences. And the bad thing about it, it caused defeat in the camp. Come on. Do you know, and understand what I'm about to say, but do you know a little bit of doubt can affect a whole service? It can cause somebody not to get their spiritual blessing. Because there's a little bit of doubt, a little bit of fear. I want to say this too. This is pastoral. If it doesn't apply to you, please let it go over your head. But when somebody's in here praying in the altar, and your mind is on something else, and you're talking about something else rather than talking to the Lord, you may be the very reason that somebody's not getting their victory here in the altar. Amen. There's a time for fellowship. There's a time for acquainting. But when somebody's in the altar pouring their heart out to God, it's time for the rest of the church to be consecrated and in mind with the Lord and asking the Lord to have His will and His way. That was not in my notes. Amen. But it does have consequences. Church, I want victory. I want victory in your life. Man, I want victory in everybody's life. I want us to be in one mind and one accord. Amen. I want us to get together and pray. Amen. And expect, amen, a victory every time we walk into those doors. But I'll go back to my lesson title tonight. Don't expect victory if there's sin in the camp. It must be uncovered and confessed for victory to come. I want to close with this. Old enemies don't go away. They don't. If Satan's ever pulled the wool over your eyes once, he'll try it again. Amen. But this time, the children of Israel were ready. I said, this time the church was ready. This time there was no sin in the camp. This time, it had been uncovered. It had been confessed. Amen. It had been done away with. Amen. Satan, you better look out. When you're talking or trying to pull the wool over the eyes of the church, amen, that's in one mind and one accord and laid down every weight and every sin that does so easily beset them, you better look out, because I will assure you that victory is on the way. Victory is going to happen. Hallelujah. This time, God sent them back to Ai. The same enemy that had them on the run. And I'm not going to read the rest of the story, but you can read it. Amen. It's a wonderful, intriguing story. Amen. This time Joshua didn't send 2,000 or 3,000. He sent 30,000+. Glory to God. Amen. I believe in being over-prepared, don't you? Glory to God. And I know the Bible says if two agree is touching anything on earth, it will be done of our Heavenly Father. I agree with that. I stand by it. But then I'm thinking, what if 50-something people agree in one mind? What if 120 agreed in one mind and one accord? There would be a shaking. There would be a sound as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And the power of God began to come down. Glory to God. I want to be over-prepared when I go into battle with Satan. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. I love it when God puts a plan together. This time they did it according to the Lord and not according to their own desire. This time they just didn't go out and expect it. They knew that they were going to win because God sent them out there. Amen. So they go, and the battle kind of starts like it did before. They go up, and Ai sends his men out, and Joshua and his men, oh, here comes Ai. He's already beat us once. We better run. And Joshua, wink, wink, and all of his men, wink, wink, are running, you know, from Ai and his men, and Ai and his men, boy, they're chomping down on their horse bits, and they think that, boy, they're gonna get them now, and they leave the city just about desolate and empty, and God had a part of Israel to wait and lie and ambush, and soon as the last little soldier comes running out of Ai, those other, amen, that had been lying in ambush, they run inside the city, and they burn everything down, and all of a sudden, Joshua and his men, they turn around, and they meet Ai head on. And Ai and all of his men look back around, and the city's burning up, and everywhere they look, there's Israelites. Glory to God. The devil can be surrounded. Amen. Everywhere he looks, there's a born-again Christian. Everywhere he looks, there's a church that's on fire. Everywhere he looks, there's somebody, amen, that's got sin out of the camp. Everywhere he looks, he's completely surrounded. Glory to God. Somebody ought to get a hold of their neighbor. Say, we're going to win. We're going to get victory back. Greater is He that is within us. We're going to win the battle. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And they won the battle. Amen. Overwhelming victory. Amen. That's what I want. Not for the building up of the church, but for the building up of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. How many would raise their hand and say, I got a loved one. I got a friend. I got a working partner, a cohort. Amen. That I want to win for Christ. Is there anybody in the house tonight? Is there any? Look all around. Amen. The battle's not over. Battle's not over. We still got great conquest. Amen. But we got to be in one mind and one accord. Amen. Because the battle, God's going to take the battle into his hands. What is the song? Battle's not mine. It belongs to him. Amen. That's what David said, and that's what we can say. Amen. God bless you. I love you. Appreciate you. But if there's sin in the camp, please get it out. Not because of what Brother Eddie said. And honestly, nobody's told me a thing. I just have to preach what God laid upon my heart. But because the Word of God has spoken to us. It's made me examine my life. It's made me look and say, Lord, am I where I need to be with you? God, if I confessed everything, if I got everything, Lord, I don't want to be the one that's hindering the church. I don't want to be the one that's not letting victory come. Amen. I want it to be not the exception to the rule. I want it to be the norm when we come into the house of God that there's victory here. Victory. And where does that victory come? Victory in Jesus. Would you stand? Every head bowed, every eye closed, every saint of God standing together in unison, praying. Amen. If you have a need tonight, bring it. Bring it down to the altar right now. Come. Come on. Come on. Amen. If you need a closer walk with the Lord, come on down. Amen. If you've had battles in your life and you're tired of losing, come on down. Glory to God. If there's an obstacle, if there's a wall that's built up between you and the Lord, come on down. Let's tear it down. Come on. Don't be ashamed. Don't be concerned about what people's going to think. Amen. If this church is truly where they need to be, they're going to be standing by you and not wondering what's going on in your life. God bless these that are coming. Come on. There's needs here that need to be met. You elders, come. Come and gather around them. Let's pray. Let's expect victory. Let's expect the mighty move of God. Come on, church. Let's rally around them right now in the name of Jesus. We're going to win, church. We're going to win as you come. I want you to have that mindset. We're not going to leave here defeated. We're not going to leave here, amen, perplexed and worried. We're going to leave here in a positive frame of mind because we're winning. We're going to win through Christ. Can we pray?